Well, I hope everybody had a good Christmas. I know I did. Our scripture passage this morning is Acts 11, 1 through 3. And would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the Word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." Thank you. You may be seated.
If you've been with us through the book of Acts, you know that is a very short reading. You can pray for me because that is not all I will be preaching on this morning as these three verses. But I had them read for a point. You can pray for me because we are about to endeavor to do what very few have strived to do, and I am arrogant enough to try to attempt it. But we are now in the longest narrative in the book of Acts. And you will witness as we walk through it this common response. It's interesting to me that those who were in Judea, Peter is going to go before the people that we as Gentiles submit to, the apostles, and give a defense for why we should be included in the church. They accused Peter of this. Acts chapter 11, verse 3. "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." I don't think we really understand that context. In fact, I strive to even think about how does that even make sense in light of our own realities. The relationship between Jews and Gentiles were indeed a sharp contrast of lifestyle and religious convictions. That when God invited Gentiles into the people of God, it was initially shocking, and as you read the rest of the New Testament, a major issue within the early church, and I might add, still to this day. Ruby Bridges. I don't know if you remember who that is. 60 years ago, she was the first African-American child to go into a white elementary school. I shake my head as I mean, that's 60 years ago, and I have had the privilege and the maybe unique opportunity to have a major, I would say, diversity in even my own family. Whether in my own family, we have African Americans. I have cousins that are from the Philippines, cousins from South Korea. I'm the descendant of a German woman. I asked my dad what ethnicity we were on his side, and he would say, "We're mutts. We're everything." And it's hard for me to grasp the generation that my parents grew up in, and even more so, my grandparents grew up in, the reality that when Ruby Bridges walked to the school, she was surrounded by a people who weren't ready for it. Shaking their fists, and you know the pictures if you remember. I thought about showing them this morning, but I don't want necessarily to be so hyper-focused on this event. But we do recognize as a country that ethnicity often becomes a division within our own society, even when it comes to education. That it's not so far hard for us to grasp that in the early church, those who were historically on the inside track, who incorporated all the rights and privileges to become the people of God, that their view of the outsider was that they could never get in unless they became Jewish. And so when Peter preaches the gospel, as we're going to read, to a Gentile audience, and he witnesses their conversion, and word gets back to Jerusalem, the apostles that we submit to, they themselves weren't ready. You sat with uncircumcised men, and you ate with them. That's crazy. To recognize that the impact of the gospel was initially shocking to whom it was extended, and as a result of Gentiles responding to the gospel, that you will find much of the rest of the New Testament addressing this major issue within the church. I already said it. What was read this morning was inadequate. What was read is towards the end of, it's actually the response to that which took place in Acts chapter 10. And we take it for granted. Watching a football game, on the back end of the helmet, it said, end hate. Like, our world gets it. It recognizes it exists. How are you going to end it? It's a noble desire, but how? And this is what is so beautiful about the gospel. For you might be able to provide education for all. That would be a good thing, but not great enough. For you might be able to produce equality in the job market. That might be good, but that is not the greatest hope for humanity. For God knows the greatest thing that he could offer to humanity is not equal jobs or equal education, but a right standing before their creator. That is what Paul is going to say is the gospel of God. And what I love about this chapter, God knows that humanity wasn't ready for it. He knew the apostles weren't going to rightly understand it at first. Like when I look back to the situation with Ruby Bridges, like many people do not know that when she walked into the school, she was taught alone, one-on-one teaching. Why? Because other parents didn't want their children to be taught with her. And I could look at that situation and I go, that's wrong. And God knows. And he works with both sides in light of even a greater reality, not education, but a right standing and it being incorporated into the people of God. God knows that the Jews weren't ready. And so as we walk through this long narrative, what you witness is God's graciousness to work with a Gentile who wants a right relationship with God and at the same time is going to work with the Jewish community so that as God is inviting these two groups into one whole new body, they both see it. It's a beautiful story. One which impacts the world to this day, even our own local church, as we ourselves could acknowledge the diversity amongst us. Who gets to be a part of the local church? The church. Whomever God invites. That's the whole point of this section. So I don't want to do anything elaborate other than walk through this story and then convict us as we conclude with it. For I think as a result of this, like we're at this story in the book of Acts where there are three individuals and we're at the third now. How do I hold my hands? We're at the third now. No, I mean, when the Ethiopian is saved, that's great, but nobody takes offense. When Saul is converted by the gospel, everybody is amazed and a little bit fearful, but no one takes offense. But when God saved people like you, Gentiles, those of the people of God looked at you early on and said to Peter, "You ate with them?" Meaning, by eating with them, you received them fully as participants of the people of God. And as the gospel goes forth and the apostles witness this, Paul will rejoice. In Galatians 3:28, to make this announcement that the people of God are neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, and female, for you are all one in Christ. This is what makes the gospel such good news. And it was radical indeed when Saul was converted. But there is more time and space given to you being incorporated into the people of God. A chapter and a half in the rest of the New Testament will be a continuing discussion of why God had Gentiles on his mind all the while. So let's consider the first Gentile. Yes, Justin read chapter 11. Go back to chapter 10 and we'll begin your journey. I hope you brought your Bibles, for we will read through this. And what you will recognize is, as I've already stated, as God invites Cornelius to become incorporated into the people of God, God is going to be working with the Gentile community and as at the same time with the community which will be resistant to it. And so the invitation is declared in verses 1 through 3. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known of the Italian cohort, a devout man who indeed feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." Who gets to be a part of the church? What you will recognize as you read through the book of Acts, it's God who's inviting those within his church. It's God who sent Philip to go reach the Ethiopian as he goes back to Africa. It's God who reached Saul as he was going to persecute those who held to the way of Christ. Here, now in the extreme example, how did Cornelius have or gain an interest concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ? Through the invitation of God. And it is fitting that God choose Cornelius. He doesn't pick someone like Saul, who's aggressively against the way of following Christ, but rather an individual who is curious and desires a relationship with God. I do think that helps the Jewish community to receive him later. For if he was a pagan in the extreme, it would even be tougher. There is nothing that Cornelius has done to earn this invitation, but rather God graciously extended to him. Pick up in verse 4. And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And so now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. This is so specific, right? Like, I need you to talk to this guy. This is where he's staying. And yeah, I don't know how many tanners there are, but he's the one that's by the sea. Specific invitation to this Gentile household. And why Peter? He's the head of the church in Jerusalem. I need you to go get the big guy. Which is such an interesting dilemma. For when Peter does go to this guy who God has extended the invitation, Peter is going to be able to recount Cornelius' invitation from God. That's the initial introduction to Acts chapter 10. Now let's consider Peter's invitation. Peter, he had seen the half-breeds and what the Jewish community would declare the Samaritans respond to the gospel. He has no hesitation for the Samaritans to respond to the gospel, but he will have an issue here. And so before he goes to Cornelius' house, as Cornelius' men are making their way to Peter's house, on the way there, God intervenes to meet Peter. I'll pick up at verse 10. And Peter became hungry and he wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, No, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again, a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Peter is going to consider the vision, and after hearing it or witnessing it, doesn't know what it means. He's beside himself. Yet it is the workings of God to prepare Peter, being a Jew, to be readily able to see that God is also inviting a new people, the Gentiles, who are, as the scriptures teach, unclean, to be incorporated into the people of God. Don't tell me what is clean and unclean. That's essentially what the vision is. Between Cornelius' vision, what makes this chapter, this narrative so long, between Cornelius and Peter's visions, they will be repeated six times. Four times concerning Cornelius' vision, two times Peter's. Why? To stress this one point. God gets to determine who is in his church, whether they be Jew or Gentile. And so while Peter responds in perplexity, he has little understanding of its meaning. And so while he considers it, he gets a knock at the door. At the appropriate time, all these things working out at the right setting and timing of all things, he hears Cornelius' men knock on the door, and the Lord says in verse 20, "Rise, go down and accompany these men without hesitation, for I have sent them." Peter is going to initially invite them into their house reluctantly. And as they begin to tell Peter why they're there, the only reason, why is it that Peter goes to Cornelius' house? As a result of the invitation of the men? No. He was being hospitable. Why does he go to Cornelius' house? God told him to. So you have Cornelius being invited by God and Peter submitting to the work and wonder of what God is doing in this situation, that ultimately through the invitation of what God is doing, Peter is going to end up in the very household with Cornelius and his entire household. And this is where the meat of the story occurs, where Peter finds himself in a place where Jews do not associate. So let's consider now the third part of this story. As we've considered Cornelius' invitation, Peter's invitation, now they're in the same house. Look at verse 24. Thanks for tracking with me. And on the following day, they'd entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. Cornelius has invited everyone that's dear to him, and they're ready to hear whatever Peter has to say. And look at their response. When Peter walks in the door, when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. We forget what it's like at times to be the outsider. Once you're the insider, after a period of time, you forget what it's like to be excluded. I remember being the outsider and going to a new school. If you ever have that experience, you hate it. Because you're not on the inside, you're on the outside. You don't know how the culture works. You don't know the jokes. You don't know the teachers. There's so much new. But once, after a period of time, when you're on the inside, you're in. And once you're in, the memories of being on the outside are quickly forgotten. And the Jewish people, historically, have always been on the inside track of seeing the wonder of God put on display. It wasn't the Gentiles who got to see God deliver them out of Egypt, bodies of water being split with one wall of water on one side, a wall on another side. They, of all people on the face of the earth, were the insiders. And Gentiles historically always just got to watch, hoping maybe there would be a God that would do the same for them. They could receive that God by becoming Jewish and submitting to the Mosaic law and circumcision. But it was so much to be accomplished. For that meant leaving your own nation, your own people. And so when they see Peter, who's always been on the inside, who walked and talked and saw the resurrected Jesus, and Caesarea is not far from Jerusalem, and heard of all the stories, that even when Peter walks by you and his shadow hits the lame or the sick, they're healed. This is a mighty man of God. They're overcome by this man now who's in a Gentile house. Cornelius and his whole household are outsiders. All they can do is respond and worship. But Peter, verse 26, lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, just like you, I am a man." And then Peter said the obvious. In verse 28, he said to them, "You know, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit," this is my paraphrase, "you, anyone of another nation. Only reason why I'm here is God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. Peter's telling the truth. You know, I'm not supposed to be here, and I wouldn't be here unless God told me to be here, and so here I am. And he's going to say, what do you want? They weren't ready to receive Gentiles into the community of God, and God knew it. And so at this moment, Cornelius is going to explain, I was just eating on my in my house. I had strived to honor the Lord. I gave alms and tried to live fearfully for the Lord. And then a boom, a vision. And his angel said, ask for Peter. And he told me exactly where you were. And that's why we're here all together. Because whatever you have to say, we want to hear and we want to respond. And Peter, who had been prepared on the other end of it, was prepared through another vision to not call Gentiles unclean. In Acts 10:33, you see Cornelius, so I sent for you at once. And you've been kind enough to come. Yeah, we know. You're not supposed to be here. Now, therefore, we all are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. And because the Lord was graciously working on both sides, Peter opened his mouth. And he said, verse 34 and 35, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And Peter's going to preach the gospel to people like you. Let's read it. Picking up at verse 36. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea. Yeah, they were the outsiders. Occasionally, Jesus actually ministered to the Gentiles. You heard of him being from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses. Yeah, you're the insider. We are the witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. This Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge in the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that, there it is, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. And as Peter is preaching the gospel, look what happens in verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. On Gentiles, people like you, ones who were far from the promises of God. Why are Gentiles in the kingdom of God, incorporated into his people? Why? Because he's invited you. And he knew the Jewish community who had always been on the inside wasn't ready. So God prepared the head guy of the church in Jerusalem to witness what God was doing and inviting people to witness and enjoy. That the Holy Spirit fell upon these Gentiles in the same way that it had fallen on the Jews. Look what happens in 45. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter, that means Jews, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. We take it for granted, totally, what it was like for Gentiles to be on the outside. And the way that the Jewish community perceived that position, we're on the inside, you're out. And when God is inviting the Gentile community, the Jewish community was beside themselves. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. And Peter, poor Peter, no, great for Peter, as he witnessed this, he then goes, well, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And recognizing that it's God and God alone who determines who is clean and unclean and who can be incorporated into his kingdom as the people of God, Peter says, I can't get in the way. They must be received just as we were freely received through the invitation of the gospel. And he commanded them, verse 48, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked him to remain for some days. Cool event. It was the first Gentile community, upon hearing it, responded. In the very, like, Peter doesn't even get to say, repent. Alrighty. Why? Because God had done his work to invite Cornelius and his whole household. They're ready. You guys, like, sometimes we think so apologetically, like, we can reason people to the gospel. God is at times working so far ahead of you that all you got to do, like Peter, is open your stinking mouth. Yeah, it's Jesus who is inviting you to receive him as Lord. And they believe. I have witnessed it myself. Often we get in our head and we think somehow we're going to save them and make them believe. I'm not even impressed with my own creativity and wisdom to trust myself with the means by which to convert people to Christ. That would be utterly devastating. God is still being patient with those in this city and is working in a mighty way and drawing those people into your workplaces, into your families, into your schools, and is inviting you to just preach Christ. I remember sitting with a man, and I just said, this is the gospel. And I said, are you ready? And he said, yes. And in my own heart, in my mind, I thought, that's it? You don't have any questions. No. I want this hope that you have. You have no idea the way that the Spirit has been working on people's hearts, minds, and souls. By His Spirit convicting them of their sin, all they need to know is the one who's died for their sins. And who gets to come in? Some of the most extreme outsiders. And often, still to this day, like it was then, the church isn't ready to receive them because they are so far from God. When they come in, they don't look like us at all. They will, just give them time. But the reality is that they were so perceived outside, so far from God, God continues to amaze them, us and his church. And then when Peter goes back, wouldn't you just consider the apostolic response, which was read this morning? Now the apostles, they weren't ready. And God knew that. So he had worked ahead to prepare Peter to witness God's invitation among the Gentiles to help this group of people to just rejoice and receive these people into the family of God, the apostles. And the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised party criticized him. That's criticism, right? Like, they're not happy. You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. Talk about a wonderful church to attend. Peter's going to explain, yeah, I wouldn't have gone. God sent me. He gave me this vision. I get to done with the vision. Somebody's knocking on my door and God says, go with them. I go to Cornelius' house and Cornelius is like, I had a vision. I was supposed to ask for you. You're here. Now tell us what we need to know. Verse 11, I'm paraphrasing for the sake of time. And behold, at the very moment, the three men arrived at the house at which we were and sent me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction between what is clean and unclean. These six brothers, like, Peter didn't go alone. God provided witnesses, also accompanied me, and we went into the man's house. Verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. Verse 17, and if God gave them the same gift to them as he gave to us, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Who gets to be a part of the church? Who gets to be a part of the people of God? Whomever God invites. It surpasses ethnicity, race, gender, occupation. And it's whomever God is graciously extending the invitation to be a part of his family. Peter's like, I can't get in the way. That he says in verse 18, or the response from the apostles when they heard this in verse 18, when they heard these things, they fell silent. Criticism done. Not knowing how to respond, they glorified God, saying, well, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. We have been incorporated into the people of God as Gentiles. Why? God has invited you. Yes. And he knew the Jews weren't ready. His own apostles. Don't you love him? God's grace. Like, we can look back and we go, how dare they not see in the Old Testament the promises that God would save all people and that through the line of Israel would be the blessing to the whole world. We could pin them to the wall. But are we not all sinners, falling short of the righteous standard of God, making walls where God has not made walls? And God works with both sides, preparing the Jewish community and the Gentile community to be incorporated in this new family. Convictional response. If you can get this story, you'll understand the rest of the New Testament. Ephesians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. They talk about this issue of Jews and Gentiles having to get along. And hate. How? Tell me how. Because God has made all people and extended to all people the invitation to be right before the Creator who they rebelled against. And their expression of God's hate has been not only extended to God, but to all His image bearers, whether it be race, ethnicity, poverty, or money, whatever it is, we have prone to rebel against God by hating His image bearers. What can reconcile humanity? The gospel of Jesus Christ, which has saved all people, those who are on the inside, closest to the gospel, being the Jewish community, and those who are far. And we taste it, reliance ourselves, our diversity, the power of the gospel, which causes us to fellowship amongst one another. We have would not have done it ourselves. And our own country has participated in it. Every country participates in it, separating themselves on the standards which they think is best. God doesn't. My convictional response, however, as I've already made one, is this. And I only say this to remind you this because I do know you know this. Choosing a church often does not consider the people, but rather its services. What does it offer me? I'm prone to this. I remember searching for a new church when we went to Dallas. It's about the people, not its services, kids ministry or hospitality or recovery program. It's about the people whom God has invited into our midst. And it's through that expression we recognize whomever God brings into our fellowship are the recipients of what God has asked for us to love. We don't love a church because of its building, as privileged as it is to have one, but a church is defined by its people, and the church historically has had to work that salvation out. Whether they're Jew or Gentile, black or white, poor or rich, slave or free. Learning how to love one another because God extended His grace to all people. Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were Gentiles separated from Christ, alienated from those of the commonwealth of Israel, those on the inside. You are strangers to the covenants and the promises, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Why? God has invited you. For He Himself now, as a result of being Jew and Gentile, is our peace. Christ resolves the conflict within humanity. Who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commanding and expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, making peace. We have the vehicle which ends racism. It's Jesus. And they dealt with it then, and the same means by which it occurs to this day is done through the same person who makes peace between these parties, and He reconciles us both to God, and because that is accomplished in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility, we can learn to forgive. We have the vehicle now to forgive. and be gracious and work out our salvation with one another with fear and trembling. Fathers, husbands, when Cornelius heard that the gospel was coming to him, he brought his whole family. It's family day, I know. You have a responsibility to bring spouses and children to the foot of Christ and call and like him, plead them to listen and respond to the same message. Make it a priority to know God's word, to learn his word, knowing that God has invited you, being a Gentile or Jew, that you would call those of your greatest influence in your family to respond to it as well. That's where you start. And then Cornelius then invited all his friends. And they responded. There isn't any race upon this earth which has been excluded from the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has granted repentance, which leads to life, to everyone. And they may look like they are far from Christ. You have no idea what God is doing on that side to draw them to himself. And he has called all those who hope in him to preach Christ. And when they come through these doors or into this community, we should be ready to receive them. Whether they be the drug lords, the prostitute, or the things at which we put on the far extremes of society, we should expect it. For we know that's where we once were ourselves. But God has been gracious to us to invite us into his community. And so with the table before us, this is for those who have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And note that his gospel is for all people who believe in the Lord, who is judge of all people, and have submitted to him as Lord and profess that through baptism. That has not been your response yet. As of yet, we ask you not to take the table. Would you join me in prayer?